everyone is doing well.
Good.
A Russian, an American, and a blonde asked me about what is blonde. I have no idea what blonde is. So they were talking one day, and the Russian said, "We were the first to land in space." And the American said, "We were the first to land on the moon." And the blonde said, "So what? We are going to be the first to go on the sun." And the Russian and the American looked at each other and shook their heads. "You cannot land on the sun, you idiot. You are going to burn yourself." And the blonde replied, "We are not stupid, you know. We are going there at night." So that was a joke. Right now, I want to pass on to you a piece of information. Very important, very, very important. Many of us know, or rather we are aware of, you know, the havoc that the COVID-19 is actually carrying out in our world, in many places, you know, disrupting programs and at the same time making it impossible for people to move around or do things the normal way or the regular way they are used to doing that. And so that had thrown a lot of challenges to people, places, including parishes, and our own parish is not immune to it. So looking at all of these things, knowing how it has taken us to an uncharted territory, I decided to contact the diocese so that in line with their policies and also with help from the diocese, I established what we call executive committee. And this executive committee consists of chairpersons from the pastoral council as well as the finance council, and then the parish trustees, then as well as the a member of the staff, and also the coordinator for parish mission planning. This particular body will serve as advisory and coordination committee. And that means, that goes to say that it will not in any way diminish or replace the statutory roles that the parish council plays or the finance council plays. They still continue to carry out their normal statutory functions in the parish. But this is just there on the platform of consultation. And so this particular group, looking at what is going on in the parish, some of the challenges we are facing, we have had two consecutive meetings within this month. So we came around and decided that what we are going to do, since we are now on uncharted territory, that we have to set a 6 to 9 month pastoral working plan for the parish. So we decided to create a survey containing about 8 questions. And it is expected that you will respond to those questions, so that based on your responses, we will be able to formulate pastoral plan. So everything really depends on how you respond to that. So it is really very important that you do that. Please, I would like you to attend to it very religiously, because it's going to help us a lot to be able to come up with how we can move forward in the parish here. And so this particular survey, I suppose it's out now. Rather, it's going to be out. And I know we have the link in the bulletin, the link to that survey in the bulletin and the PDF file. I suppose also we have it on the website and the flock notes. So please try to get that done. And the deadline for us to have it submitted completely is July 22nd. July 22nd. So that we try as much as possible to attend to those questions. Thank you. St. Matthew began his introduction to the gospel of today by telling us that Jesus told many parables to his audience. And one of such parables was the one we heard today in the gospel of today, the parable of the sower. Parable is a wisdom teaching. employed the time of Jesus by the rabbi, you know, the sage, or a teacher of superior knowledge to drive home a message or a point relating to life issues. And usually he does that, they did that in a paradoxical way. This approach presents a matter which ordinarily would not be considered praiseworthy, but which on a long run will be considered as such due to its unexpected turn of events. This is the case with today's parable of the sower. The sower's conduct, as well as the seed which he sowed, are taken into consideration here. And the parable ends up challenging our values, especially those dominant values in our culture. The sower is portrayed as a free and generous spirit who is not overly concerned that some of the seed will not produce crop, but he continues to sow, trusting that eventually his work will bear abundant fruits. One might even wonder at the recklessness of the power of the sower. The sower sowed his seeds haphazardly. Some seed fell on good soil, some on hard path, some on ground littered with stones, some on thorns and briars. You might conclude that the sower was wasteful and foolish. On the other hand, one might be forced to say that the sower was not only extremely generous, but at the same time prodigal with his seed. He was determined to give every part of that field a chance to produce something. God behaves that way. He sows the precious seed of his word in the most unlikely places, just like he scatters the rain on earth's surfaces. This is reflective of the first reading of today from the prophecy of Isaiah, which emphasizes the effectiveness of God's word by using the image of rain. God cares for the earth by sending rain to make it fruitful. The rain always produces positive results because somewhere on earth, the soil becomes fertile and produces fruit. God persists with his word until he gets a response. So the parable of the sower echoes that same idea. It is possible that Jesus told this parable to his disciples as a result of some kind of complaints. Maybe they were saying, "Master, we are wasting our time with these people. No one is listening to us." And then Jesus, perhaps, was very close to a farmer in his field and then drew the attention of the disciples and said, "Look out there. See him sowing." So, just as he's doing, let us continue to sow. Let us continue to do that. So, using that illustration, Jesus meant to demonstrate that the word of God achieves the end for which it was sent. Despite the hard ground, the predatory birds, the stones, the thorns, and the weeds, the seed finally finds some good soil and produces harvest, or good harvest, of different measures. The parable is telling that despite all obstacles, that the word of God will bear fruits in hearts that are ready to receive it. The parable also meant to encourage the disciples. At the same time, it is also to celebrate all sowers, including parents, guardians, preachers, community leaders, and so on and so forth, all who were generous with their love and time. Those who sowed the good seed of advice, the good seed of care, and with their own personal sacrifices, and also their good example, and yet are not able to see the fruit of their labor at that time, but at the same time continue to work in hope of abundant harvest. It is equally a piece of advice to those who have become calculating, who believe that whatever effort they put out must produce or bring maximum gain. And whatever does not bring immediate results must be omitted altogether. On the contrary, this parable affords us the spiritual insights of waiting patiently without expecting an overnight result, of allowing Jesus' message to go deep into the society without choking it with many compromises and leading us into wrong conclusions. Therefore, the parable, which is a masterpiece, assures disciples of all time that in spite of frustrations and apparent failures on our part, the kingdom of God will still grow where the seed is planted. There is a good reason that moves God to keep on sowing his word in our hearts in spite of scanty harvests. The reason is that something that happens in the human heart does not take that which happens in the human heart does not take place in nature, because the human heart, which yesterday was hard soil, as hard as a concrete path or covered with thorns and thistles, can become a good soil today under God's loving care. This has happened to many of us, and it's still happening to a lot of people. God's word has the power to turn the human heart from a desert into a garden. This is why God goes on sowing the seed of his word in human heart, and he never gives up.